When the Dead Rise, written by Curiosity Killed, and read by Sunkitten Shash. Author's Notes. Content Warning. References to Wu Wuxian growing up on the streets, brief mention of disordered eating, brief graphic depictions of violence. Everyone should have a contingency plan for when the dead rise. Mine is to see my brother again. A Softer World, 527. I will try not to hug him too hard. When they were kids, before courtesy names or whipping scars or traded cores, when they were really kids, when Wei Wuxian had only just come to Lotus Pier and was still only Wei Ying, he never touched anyone. It had annoyed Zheng Cheng, made his shoulders bristle up long after his puppies were taken away. What, he wanted to demand, did Wei Ying think he was too good for them? Too polite, with his hands always squeezing each other and not reaching out for them, with his only ever eating one bowl at a meal? So what if he never took, but always had to be offered things first? They weren't Gu Sulan to pride themselves on strangling self-restraint. After that night in the woods and Wei Ying's broken ankle, Zheng Cheng had tried to bottle up all his angry words and bury them in his chest. He didn't want to hurt his new brother, even if he sometimes kind of did. He remembered too clearly the jolts of fear that had seized through his chest like a lightning strike when he couldn't hear Wei Ying outside his door, when he looked outside and found only the crumpled bedding and no sign of the strange little boy his father had brought home. Thinking of it made his throat close up tight with shame and guilt, his tongue suddenly thick and sour in his mouth. But every time Ajie patted Wei Ying's head and he brightened, but didn't squeeze her in a hug, every time the elders chuckled and offered the two of them melon seeds, and his hands jolted out before he pulled them behind his back, every time Ajie praised him and he dipped in an awkward, clumsy bow, the bottle creaked under the pressure, and Zheng Cheng bit his tongue till it hurt. Stupid Wei Ying, acting like he was so above all of them, so mature. Just because he didn't want Jijie's hugs or wait hopefully for Ajie's hand on his shoulder didn't make him better than Zheng Cheng. If you want to be a monk, you should just go, Zheng Cheng shouted finally, when they were playing in one of the gardens, and Wei Ying would have won if he just grabbed Zheng Cheng, but had held back and let Zheng Cheng win instead. Wei Ying stared at him with big, startled eyes, like Zheng Cheng had spoken in some obscure dialect. Irritation rose under Zheng Cheng's skin, and he curled his hands into tight fists. You're so much better than me because you never touch anyone or eat more than one bowl, or, well, that's fine, he spat. But you're not better than Jijie, and she hugs all the time, so just, if you don't want to be here, you don't have to. His jaw trembled, and he bit down hard to keep from crying. He wasn't going to cry. Not in front of Wei Ying. Not over something so stupid.
Ha-Chung?
Wei Ying asked, voice wavering. Swallowing, Zheng Cheng dug his fingers into his palms. You would have won, he blurted out. I'm not an idiot. I know you would have won. You were close enough to grab me, and you aren't all grown up because you let me win. Blinking once, Wei Ying looked down at his own robes as if expecting to see someone else standing in his boots. Dark patches of mud had soaked through where he'd knelt to poke at an anthill, and the edges of his sleeves were wet from the stream that curled gracefully through the garden.
But I'm dirty, he said, tremulous.
On impulse, Zheng Cheng reached down to scoop a handful of rain-loosened earth and smear it down his robes. It caught in his collar, shivered down between the layers of fabric, so he could feel it like grit caught against his skin.
Well, now I am, too, he said.
Wei Ying stared at him, and Zheng Chong tried to bury the slow-creeping embarrassment he could feel rising in him with the anger and the harsh words. Anyang was going to wring his ear until he cried, and he didn't even have a good excuse. His eyes stung, and he blinked back the stupid tears fiercely.
Don't make up stupid excuses, he snapped. And you should hug Jiji sometimes, because she's the best, and she likes hugs, and you're being mean by not hugging her.
His voice cracked a little on Jiji, turning petulant and babyish, and the tears finally escaped to mark streaks down his cheeks, and Wei Ying was still staring at him like he'd turned into a frog without stopping for breath.
What? Zheng Cheng demanded.
Wei Ying blinked, as if startled, and then he reached out, eyes flicking up to Zheng Cheng's face anxiously. His muddy hand closed on Zheng Cheng's sleeve, and then, when Zheng Cheng didn't pull away, gave a little tug. It brought Zheng Cheng 2 steps closer, just enough that Wei Ying closed his hand fully around his wrist.
Okay, Ah Cheng, he said.
A grin spread over his lips, revealing the gap where he'd just lost the same tooth Zheng Cheng was already missing.
Look, I caught you.
Stupid, Zheng Cheng sniffed,
but Wei Ying slung his arm around his shoulders, and the pressure in his chest eased, loosened a little.
I'll hug Xinjie too, Wei Ying said. She is the best.
At least he had that much sense. Zheng Cheng huffed and elbowed Wei Ying before slipping his own arm around his skinny back to squeeze him. Wei Ying's grin broadened, sunshine suddenly blooming in his eyes, and that was it. It was like spring emerging after that, how the small moments suddenly piled up together into a landslide shift. All at once, it seemed, Wei Ying would hug Jiji every night before bed and press his head into her palm like an oversized cat when she patted his hair. He slung his arm around Zheng Cheng so readily that the older disciples teased them for becoming a 3-legged crow, walking with their steps in perfect tandem everywhere they went. He clung, he hugged, he asked for seconds with big, pouting eyes. Even when they went to Gusu for the summer, his arm was a constant weight across Zheng Cheng's shoulders every time he wasn't fluttering around, annoying Lan Mengji. Every time Zheng Cheng shoved him, dug his elbow into his ribs, Wei Wuxian came swinging back with a grin, like he knew a secret the rest of them couldn't read at Zheng Cheng's gruff scolding and sharp elbows. This was what he thought of during those 3 months of searching. Lying awake after another too vivid dream of his parents' broken bodies swaying from the front gate, of Wen Zhulu's fist punching through his low belly, Zheng Cheng thought of grabbing his brother and pulling him into his arms, until Wei Wuxian was the one who squirmed and laughed and poked Zheng Cheng in the ribs.
Aya, Zheng Cheng! He'd probably say. Did you really miss your Xishuang so much?
He'd probably say something stupider, something shameless that would make Zheng Cheng forget he ever missed him in the first place. His chest panged, a jolt through the ribs, and Zheng Cheng swallowed it down. Across the makeshift camp they'd made, Lan Wangji laid neatly on his back. He had trouble sleeping, too, though he was quieter about it than Zheng Cheng, of course. Zheng Cheng only knew because he'd woken to Lan Wangji sitting up on watch hours after they were supposed to be asleep, when he knew Lan Wangji wasn't supposed to be on guard that night at all. The two of them, Zheng Cheng and Lan Wangji, didn't talk much on their long hunt. They made decisions brusquely, discussion winnowed by their lack of options, and they walked, following weedy, winding tracks cut through the wild borderlands of Jiangling. Zheng Cheng's robes grew dusty and sweat-soaked, while Lan Wangji's brittle white remained pristine. On hot days, tugging at his collar in a futile attempt to cool down, Zheng Cheng hated that sun-white glare. If he were with them, when he came back to them, Wei Wuxian would surely tug at Lan Wangji and splash water at him when they paused to fill their canteens from the thin stream that ran along their path. Once he was back, Wei Wuxian would be sure to get dirt on Lan Wangji's impeccable robes. He'd back away with wide, sheepish eyes and an impish grin on his lips, and Lan Wangji would bridle the way he did so often during the summer lecture, and Zheng Cheng would have to intervene, bully Wei Wuxian into apologizing and behaving like a proper head disciple again. Once he let go of him, that was. Once Zheng Cheng had held on to him long enough to catch his breath, to feel the world settle back into its moorings. Then he'd berate Wei Wuxian for his absence and chide him for being so shameless around Lan Argonze, and then they'd win the war and go back home and... He sucked in a shaking breath and ignored the tear dripping down his cheek to curve through the folds of his ear. Jie was waiting back in Qinghe. As soon as he found Wei Wuxian, they would go back, and he would be able to reach out and grab hold of both of them again. He'd have to return to the war, he knew. It was only barely beginning, just the first sparks catching on kindling. But first, he would hold his brother in his arms and see his sister smile again. He could have that, for a moment, and then he would stand back up and go do what was needed. When they found Wen Chao bloody-mouthed and sobbing and yelling, Zheng Cheng's first thought was relief. Inundating, sweeping, the kind of heady emotion that nearly knocked him back from the hole they'd broken into the roof. He was back, alive, and standing before them, and nothing else mattered in that moment. Nothing else except getting down there, shoving Sui Bian in his hand and grabbing him. He didn't care about the blood sticking to the soles of his shoes, the sniveling whimpers still escaping Wen Chao in the corner. His brother was here and alive. The rest, they could figure out later. The three of them could get through anything, as long as they were together and alive. "Look," he wanted to say. "Look, I caught you." It bubbled up against the back of his tongue, sour like blood, sweet like wine. He bit down on the tip of his tongue and buried his face in Wei Wuxian's shoulder. Wei Wuxian felt wrong in Zheng Cheng's arms. He'd been taller than Zheng Cheng since he hit a growth spur right before they left for Gusu, and had driven the old tailors at Lotus Pier into a tizzy as they hurried to take down the hems of all the new robes they'd sewn for the lecture. They'd scolded Wei Wuxian relentlessly, squeezing his cheeks and pinching his ears while he laughed and whined. In the blood-soured room in Yiling, Wei Wuxian was still taller than Zheng Cheng, but he felt bony and sharp-edged. Tucked in Zheng Cheng's arms, he felt the way he had when he first came to Lotus Pier, when he would barely eat at dinner, but would hide food in the corner of the chest he shared with Zheng Cheng, and then eat himself sick on it when no one was around to see. Zheng Cheng hadn't been the one to notice back then. Ajie had been the one who caught him cleaning up after himself, wiping away all the mess before anyone could find it. Zheng Cheng collapsed against his brother's bony body, tightened his arms around him. Jie would know what to do. Once he got Wei Wuxian back to her, she would know how to fix it, what rough edges needed smoothed. She was always the one to draw them together, to patch over the rends they tore between them. Jie was always the one to fix it, always the one to put them back together when they fell apart. all the way up to the moment she fell back in his arms, with her eyes wide open and blood gushing down her throat to soak into his robes. She stared up at him with empty eyes, lips parted, and that red ran, spilled over her. It was so much, too much for her small body. It flooded her white hemp robes, soaked into his robes until the fabric was hot and slick against his skin, and still, she bled. She bled to see Wei Wuxian staring at her, jaw slack, eyes wide. He hadn't looked right. Not since the war, not since Yiling. Edges too pale, filed bone carved into a knife that once was his brother. A stranger stared back at him with those red eyes, those bleeding lips. He stumbled, dropped to his knees, reached out a shaking, filthy hand. "Go to hell!" Zhang Cheng screamed, shoving him. "Wei Wuxian!" After that, it would have been a kindness to not remember, a mercy of the universe to let it all blur, merged together into one indistinct streak. Some of it, the face of the disciple who took Ajie's body from his red arms, the flight from the battlefield to the burial mounds, the steps through the barrow's screaming ghosts, was blotted out, patches of memory turned to fog in his mind. Through the mist, crystalline, Wei Wuxian backing toward the cliff, shaking with laughter as tears ran down his face. Jin Guangshan calling for siege on the burial mounds. The roar of 3,000 as they rattled their swords. After, the clamor, the voices calling out the glad tidings to any listening ear, till all the wind sang, "Great news! Good riddance! Wei Wuxian is dead!" In the years after, no one asked him about it. No one was bold enough to walk up to Sundu Shengzhou and ask how Wei Wuxian died. They were all too eager to whisper about the Shidi who rose up to vanquish his corrupted Xishong, and too scared to step within Zidian's rage. Sometimes, he wondered what he would have told Ajie if she had been waiting for him when he walked down that blood-drenched hill. If he tried, if he put the effort in, he could recall her face, the way it always brightened in question with her eyebrows arching up toward her hairline. Later, as the years pressed heavier on her memory, he could only picture it if he drew up a specific moment from their childhood, the time Zhang Cheng brought a fat, croaking frog in from the lake and tried to give it to her as an apology for getting her in trouble with Anyang, or when Wei Wuxian and him stumbled into her dorm at the cloud recesses, giggling and hiding all the treats they'd bought in Saiyi Town. It was harder, each time, to remember the details. If you look too closely at the memories, they started to smudge and blur, drawn into question by time. Would she have forgiven him if he told her he had no choice? Would she have drawn him to her side and coaxed out the whole truth, ugly and barbed and cutting up the soft meat of his throat? She had always drawn them together, her heart the bridge between their orbiting bodies. There was no one waiting for him when he left that hungry grave. An empty estate, a child with no mother, no father, no future siblings to tug him into trouble or soothe his hurts. His inheritance had been burned down and scattered. Here, then, the truth he had no one to tell. When he reached the top of that hill, Wei Wuxian was already dead. The seal cracked, snarled, and lunged for him, and his corpses, always so obedient, so in control, turned and ripped. Before Zheng Cheng was close enough to lift Sun Du, A rotting hand had dug its black nails into Wei Wuxian's cheek and tore. Skin, muscle, bone. The wet squelch of it echoed in Zhang Cheng's ears years later, but Wei Wuxian hadn't made a sound. He lifted his eyes, red where the blood vessels had burst, red where it ran down his cheeks and caught on the chapped curve of his lips. Zhang Cheng had yelled his name, screamed it. He didn't know, now, whether it had been in anger or fear. Had he cursed the man who killed his sister, or called out for his brother? Even in the amber-trapped memory, he couldn't say. What he remembered, instead, was Wei Wuxian's bloody eyes catching on him, the corner of his lips lifting. The motion cracked his tattered skin, sent new blood running down his cheek. Another hand had grabbed his throat. Dozens, it seemed, punched through his chest. And his brother reached for him, a shaking hand, stained with blood both fresh and dried. For a moment, his lips seemed to say something, to move in the shape of words. Zhang Cheng lunged, hand extended. He couldn't hear, he was too far away. If he only got closer. Under his open palm, the tide swallowed his brother and devoured him whole. There was no body in the aftermath. No bones to pick over, crush, and scatter. Even the Yiling Laozu's great and terrible spiritual instruments had disappeared with him. When all the sects called for his spirit, they didn't catch so much as a ghost fire. Wei Wuxian, for all the world could tell, had simply disappeared from existence, blotted his name from the endless circle. Alone in its shallow box, the flute hardly looked like anything at all. Black bamboo, cleaned so that the light caught on the channels carved like a river through its lacquer surface, nothing more than a common instrument. No resentment curled from it when he reached out. No furious spirit lashed out at the hand that the world claimed had killed its master. There is nothing about the flute that suggested anything of power. People searched for it even now. Demonic cultivators, delirious on dreams of living up to their grandmaster's capability. Noble cultivators determined to prove Wei Wuxian was gone once and for all. No one asked him. Zhongzhu, the disciples are ready. A demonic cultivator had been causing trouble in a little village near Xiayang, slaughtering livestock and trapping families in their homes with the corpses of their ancestors. The families who weren't wealthy enough to pay ransom were massacred and strung up for their neighbors to take as warning. It wasn't Wei Wuxian. Wei Wuxian would do terrible things, but not for money. Zhang Cheng knew that much. It wasn't Wei Wuxian, but one of these days, it would be. They said he was dead. Where was the proof? What body, what bones, built their belief? Closing the box with a snap, Zhang Cheng turned away. Wei Wuxian would come back. Rise like the dead, he sang into action. They called him paranoid when they thought he was out of earshot, but Zhang Cheng knew better than them. He knew Wei Wuxian better than any of them. They'd been brothers once, no matter how Wei Wuxian had thrown that aside. He would come back, and Zhang Cheng would be ready. He would be waiting. He would reach out. He would catch him. The end. Thanks for listening.